Can I have all y'all stand up? Let's stand up. Let's lift to the sky, stretch. Take a deep breath in. Keep your hands up. Reach to the ceiling. Amen. Does that feel good? It should. It's very good for you. Very good for you. Come on, let's lift it up one time. Very good. Is this aerobics? Yes, yes, yes. When I was 40, when I turned 40, I started getting blurry, not losing my sight, but when you get 40, your eyes start to go and you need glasses, reading glasses. And I fought it for so long. Anybody been through that? Yeah, so, a lot of y'all, we ain't even 30 yet. What are you talking about? And when I got those glasses, I was resisting. When I got those glasses, I could see. My prayer is that God would open your eyes and you could see something today. You wanna ask God, God, show me something today that makes something clearer to me. Amen? We're going to talk about the election and all the stuff that we don't want to talk about in church. We're going to talk about it, and some of it anyway. We started the series last week, ended today. But my prayer is that God would just open your eyes up to something, that you would see something clearer than you did before you came here. Amen? Let's lift our hands up. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. We lift our hands up and surrender everything we are, everything we have. It's because of you, belongs to you. We want to obey you. Sometimes it's not comfortable. Sometimes it's not what we want, but we want to obey you. So I pray that you would encourage us, honor that request that change our heart. You say in 2 Samuel 2:30 that those who honor you, you will honor. So we want to honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give someone a high five. Turn to 2 Chronicles 7:14. Whenever you come to church, I would encourage always when you come that you lay down at the door all your preconceived ideas about who you are and what your life is about. And allow God to give you more clarity about who you are, what your life's about. And every day, if you can get a little more clarity, a little more clarity, a little more clarity. I was test driving a car last week, and it had the self-driving, which I don't really trust that stuff. But I said, I'm going to try it. There's no cars around me, so if it goes off, I can grab it. And what it did was it kept adjusting. It would go near the lines, it would adjust, and it would go near the edge of the curve, and it would adjust, and it would go near the edge of the bridge, and it would adjust, and my hands were right there, but it was making these micro adjustments. And every time a car came by, I was like, get ready to grab it, just in case it was an accident. The Holy Spirit wants to do that in your life. He wants to keep making these adjustments in your life, but you have to let him. Amen? Amen. Okay. When Jesus ministered, when he was alive, walking the earth, he was always challenged by the religious people, the Pharisees, who thought they knew more than him. And they would always ask him questions, trying to catch him in lies or catch him contradicting what they thought was the Bible so they can accuse him of being a false prophet. And one of the things they asked him, should we pay taxes? And so he grabbed the coin and he said, whose image is on the coin? And they said, Caesar. And Jesus said, well, pay to Caesar what you owe to Caesar. Pay to God what you owe to God. When it comes to voting, we should do our due diligence and vote for whoever you vote for. That's your business. And I'm not going to tell you how to vote, but I'm going to tell you how to vote. I said that last week. I'm not going to tell you a box to check, but I'm going to tell you how to think about it. And then you can make your own decision, and it's completely up to you. Just know your salvation is not predicated on who you vote for. Your salvation is not predicated on who you vote for. And neither is anyone else's. So stay out their business, and you stay in your business. But you want to vote for who you vote for, but don't give your heart to the politics. You give your heart to God. And the coin has an image on it, and he said, whose image is on the coin? Caesar. Well, pay Caesar his tax because his image is on the coin. But whose image is on your heart? God created us in his image. And there's two kingdoms. There's man's kingdom and there's God's kingdom. Everyone say man's kingdom? Say God's kingdom. Clarify from last week, man's kingdom is really Satan's kingdom because we don't own anything. Satan is running this show. And what I mean by that, he's the one, is the prince of the power. He's the one disrupting everything on this world. He's the God of the earth. And so he's the one causing all the drama in this world. We have to understand that we live in a foreign land. Our citizenship is actually in heaven. And so you always want to be reminded of that. And when you come to church, because sometimes you can get dragged into thinking like the world, I got to have this money. I was listening to a podcast. It was a clip on Instagram about a, he's a guy's worth $33 billion. He said at some point it doesn't matter. And I was like, I would love to know what that means. Can I get an amen? But really what he said was really what life is about is serving other people. It's about your family. It's about your purpose. It's about your meaning. And he's 100% right. It's about what did God put you here? And so when we come to church and when you read the Bible and every day, if you can recalibrate this every day when you read the Bible, which I hope you do every day, and when you pray in the morning, if every day you can say, okay, God, my name is whatever. I'm here on the earth to serve you. Give me clarity and shed me of all the things that I've been trying to grab onto in this world that don't mean anything. And so you want to always remember that you were made in the image of God to reflect the glory of God. And the world wants, the devil wants you to reflect his glory and his image. That's the battle. And when we get into elections, it's when that stuff comes to a head, but it's something you need to think about all the time. So last week we looked at eight questions that God was, four questions, we're gonna look at four more today, four questions that God was asking me to ask you about his people. Look what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14. Let me read this verse for you. You don't need to put it up on the screen. If, 2 Chronicles, if my people, everyone say my people. Say my people. Now, if you've asked Christ to be your savior, you are his people. Now, I don't know if you've ever said that term about some people, like those are my people. Anybody ever say that? And it's not a racial thing either. Sometimes those people are the people like football players are my people, okay? They come to all shapes and sizes and colors, okay? Church people, well, some church people are my people. I had 15 pastors at my house the other day and we were talking about evangelism and youth evangelism, and we'll talk more about that in the coming months. But and you know, people go from one church to another church, and you know, sometimes there's a lot of competition. But some of your people came to my church, they don't like your church anymore. I'm like, bro, you can have them. The people you're talking about, I sent them to you. Okay. Says, if my people, say my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. If our country has any hope, it is not from politics. It's gonna be from people of God turning from their sin. The reason our country and the reason this world is jacked up is because people have not glorified God with their life, period. Now, do I think that's gonna happen before Jesus comes back? No, because Jesus is gonna come back because the world is going to wage war against him. We don't want to be on the wrong side of that war. So you always want to understand that there's a kingdom of God and a kingdom of the devil, and they are at odds with each other, and they will never reconcile because the devil's not going to repent. He can't repent. And so we want to make sure as we go into these conversations about the election that you have it as arm's distance. It's over there. Your allegiance need to be in the kingdom of God. So last week, I looked at four questions that God is asking us as Christians in the election. And these are really just excuses for me to talk about these things, okay? And what I mean by that is that the issues in the election are critical, but what's more critical is our relationship with God and how we're addressing them, which is what I mean by that. Number one, I asked last week, why are my people, this is God to us, why are my people more passionate about the election than worship? We talked about that last week. People, yeah, you're inviting people to watch the debate, you're inviting people to this, but you don't invite them to church. You're campaigning for this person or that person, but you ain't campaigning for Jesus. God's like, help me understand that. This is God telling you, okay? Number two, why are my people demonizing those who vote differently? Your vote doesn't determine your salvation. Now, I know there's some Christians out there that say, well, if you vote this, you're not a Christian. Shut up. You're a Christian because you asked Christ to be your savior. And people have different issues, and trust me, I could say that. I could say, I don't understand that, but that's between them and God. And maybe they're at a different place in their journey. Maybe they have some other issue that's more important to them than more important to you. That's not for me to say. However, we understand what makes someone a Christian is they ask Christ to be their savior and they surrender to him more and more each day and they're walking with him and being obedient. So understand that's your brother and sister. And by the way, if there's somebody who voted different than you and they don't know Christ, more so that you should love them and show them what your kingdom's about. This kingdom's about fighting. Our kingdom's not about fighting. Amen? Number three. Why are my people known more for what they are against than what they are for? We are always, and I say we, now I'm talking Christians. You, this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong, and this is wrong. What's right? What gives hope? Anybody could just complain. How many of y'all got people in your life that just, they just whine about everything? Oh man, they just wear you out. Don't be that guy. Be that person that says, I'm gonna tell you what God is doing in my life. I'm gonna tell you what God wants to do in your life. Number four, this was what I ended with last week. Why are my people quoting the words of Trump and Kamala more than the word of God? Oh snap, you can imitate them, you can't imitate Jesus. What's up with that? God's like, you're so consumed. This is God now talking, and I'm not saying I'm talking for God, but I'm talking for the word of God. God's like, why are you spending so much time being consumed about those words, and those words fall to the ground? Everything they say is gonna fall to the ground, unless it's the word of God. So why are you so hung up on that? I heard a candidate, I'm not gonna say which one it was, but someone in the crowd said, Jesus is Lord or something. And this candidate said, you're in the wrong place. Oh my gosh. Listen, don't get hung up on people. You better know what God's word says, because when God says, come up, you better go, he's calling me. You don't wanna miss that call. Okay, that was last week, can I get an amen? So, four more this week. Number one for today. Why are my people fighting for laws that they don't obey themselves? There's a whole, say it again. You're fighting for stuff that you don't even do. You know, the abortion's a big thing, and I'm gonna talk more about that in another point. 56% of people who get abortion claim to believe in God. But yet you're fighting for, now it may not be the same individuals, but let's be clear about what we believe and that we live out what we believe. You may be fighting against LGBTQ, okay. But you're sleeping around. You're shacked up, coming to church. You were sleeping with someone last night that you ain't married to. Now I know having sex before marriage is like, oh, that's old fashioned. It's not old fashioned, it's eternal. That principle never ends. Ladies, you ever feel like, you don't admit it, just think. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but if you want to, it's on you. Did I just get used? Yep. That will never change. That principle will never change. God made sex for a man and a woman. They've become one in marriage, and that oneness is consummated in shameless oneness. We call it sex. That principle will never change. It just won't. Pornography, 50%, read a Bonner report the other day, 50% of Christians watch pornography and think there's nothing wrong with it. So you need to shut your mouth and get your life right before you start complaining about somebody else. And you're all over here complaining about all these laws. Trust me, the world, Democrat, Republican, Independent, the world is never going to live up to the standard of the Bible. That's not their job. That's not their purpose. It's not even their purpose. The purpose is control. But our standard, our stated purpose is to obey God and glorify God. And that's what we have to be consumed with. Well, what about, listen, the world is going to, it's always gonna be against you. The question is, are you for God? Are you committed to what God has called you to do? Proof of citizenship to God is obedience to God. That is proof of citizenship. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. There are a lot of people in church, and by the way, the Bible also says preachers, who are gonna die and say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? I said word, Jesus, but and he's gonna say, I never knew you. Here's what a mature Christian is. Well, first let me tell you what a mature Christian is not. A mature Christian is not a Christian who knows a lot of Bible. I'll say it slower so you can be sure you heard it correctly. If you know a lot of Bible, that does not mean you are a mature Christian. It just means you have a lot of information. You know what a mature Christian is? And by the way, this is how you know you're getting maturing. You're not maturing by learning more information. You're not maturing by necessarily coming to church more. You are maturing when you are obeying God more and more in what he reveals to you. So if you learn more Bible and you obey more Bible, you're maturing. If you're coming to church because you feel God leading you, you're out of obedience, great. If you're giving, we give tithes and offerings. If you're giving and you're being more faithful, you're maturing. But just because you have information, and even though you may do religious things, if you're not doing it out of obedience, you're just doing it, oh, I got it. You know, the Bible says God loves a cheerful giver. Well, here it is. No. Oh, I'm just going to go to church because I got to. No. I'm going to go to small. No, God, I am falling more in love with you. And I want to obey you, and I want to be close to you. I want to hear your voice. And because I want to hear your voice more, I got to cut this other stuff out of my life. You know, I stopped doing cocaine, not because someone told me. And by the way, if you don't know, I did cocaine for 2 years and marijuana for 8 years before that. And I stopped doing cocaine in one day. When I got saved, not because someone said, you need to stop doing cocaine. It's because the Spirit of God said, I got something better for you. And I said, but can you give me the power? He says, yes. So what if your prayer every day was, Lord, I want to be more like you. And he said, oh, that's all I wanted to hear. Let's do this now. If you want to be more like me, you know, I know you like to do that, or I know you like hanging out with those people and doing those kind of things, but I don't do that. I do this. This is how sweet God is. God's not going to beat you on the head. He's going to say, I got this. It's like when I met my wife, how can I tell this story? I'll tell it real quick. When I met my wife, I was dating another girl, but I knew I was going to break up with her. True story. And then I know, be careful. I know. She knows all of this, right? So anyway, at our marriage retreat, she ratted me out in front of everybody about this whole story. So I had another girl that I was going to go home with that night. I wasn't a Christian, please. Don't judge me. I was a straight-up sinner, okay? I was trying to, you know, I was in the game. And so this girl, I said, look, that day or the day before, I said, you know, tomorrow night, boom, after the dance, boom, okay. So I met my wife, and we spent the whole night dancing. I'm like, this girl I'm going to marry. So when I'm leaving, I saw the other girl that I was supposed to go home with. She was like, you know, we're going to do this. I hadn't talked to her all night. Which tells you what kind of. And God said, do you want that or do you want that? Holy Spirit says, you want this or you want that? The mature person says, I want this. If you plant grass and the grass just breaks the surface of the ground, that's a mature sprout. It is doing what it's supposed to do at that age. It's not mature when it's fully grown. It's mature for that age. And so if you got saved today or last month or whatever, and you are progressing, growing, you are mature and healthy. Just keep going. Don't let anybody who thinks that knows more than you think make you think that you're down here. No, you're right. It's like my granddaughter is the most beautiful little girl in the world, but she's 18 months. She's a mature 16-month-old. She's healthy. You want to do that. Can I get an amen? Number two for today. Why are my people resisting attacks on their money and their comfort more than attacks on children? Now, let me put this in context. In 1619, slaves were brought here for the first time. And slavery lasted 240-something years, and there was 12 million that came to the Americas, North America, South America. In 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected president, and his big campaign thing was no slavery. He wanted to abolish slavery. He said, if slavery is not wrong, nothing's wrong. And there were people who said, now there were tax issues on the ballot. There were, you know, health issues on the ballot. There were a lot of issues on the ballot, but slavery was a big issue, so big that when he was elected, the Southern states said, we're going to go to war over this. You have to decide, what is your going to war issue in this election? All issues aren't the same to everybody. Some issues, money's the economy and the taxes, that's your big issue. That's your slavery issue. Or sometimes it's immigration, big issue. Or it's children, the image of God. Here's what the devil has been trying to do ever since he attempted not attempted, tempted Adam and Eve. It's to destroy the image of God. You and I are the image of God. God created the earth, heavens, and he put us on this earth to reflect his glory. And the devil says, I can't defeat God. I'm going to pervert the image of God. That's a spiritual issue. Your body, how you treat your body, we were kind of doing a little aerobics earlier. This is the temple of God, not this building. It's you. You are the temple of God. God gave you intelligence. He gave you creativity. He gave you a soul through which he can communicate. He gave you a body to express everything he speaks to you. And the devil says, listen, money, it's a tool. It's a tool to deceive people. Things, all stuff is going to burn up. But if I can get the image of God, because the thing that God is concerned about is all his people, these little gods. And what I mean by that, Christian means Christ-like. These little Christ, these little people that are supposed to reflect the glory of God. I can't defeat him, so I got to defeat them. That's the next best thing. So you have to think, and by the way, slavery was a dehumanizing act. And by the way, there's slavery all over the world. Black people weren't the only slaves in this country. There's slaves all over the world in all cultures. And whenever one man enslaves another man, that is one man dehumanizing or one man saying, the image of God in me is superior to the image of God in you, which is what racism is all about. And I'm going to dehumanize. I'm going to minimize you and put you down and force you to live at a lower level of what God created you to do. That is Satan's ultimate victory. I spoke at an abortion, not an abortion, it was pro-life event the other day. And I was asking God, tell me, give me a message. And he said, this is my body is your message. Now, I know there's a lot of slogans out there and to the women who say, this is my body, and a man can't tell me what to do in my body. I'm not gonna tell you what to do in your body, but I'm gonna tell you it's not your body. God bought it at a price. Number one, if you're a Christian, this don't belong to you. It just doesn't. And so the slogan that the devil gave you is actually a ripoff from what Jesus said at the Last Supper. He said, this is my body. The devil has used that slogan to mock God. He said, you, Jesus, at your Last Supper said, this is my body, and you gave your body to set people free. I'm gonna turn around and I'm gonna use that to give to convince the world to give permission to people to kill babies. That is a mockery of the devil. You know, if a man, I'll tell you how twisted it gets. If a man kills a woman who's pregnant, it's a double homicide. Think about this. Lacey Peterson, Scott Peterson killed her. She was pregnant. He's in jail for killing two people. If a man gives a woman an abortion pill, she don't know it, he will be charged for homicide. Why? Because it's a baby's a person. But if a woman said, this is my body, all of a sudden we say, okay, this is different. What's that all about? It's a spiritual issue. What's your issue? Children taking hormone blockers. Now, a kid has to be 18 to get a license, 17 or 18 years old. They can't drive a car. They're around on these little mopeds, driving 50 miles an hour on those little mopeds, right? But you ever see them? They're dangerous. They're like, they got a little helmet on. Hey, listen, I had a kid in my neighborhood, snapped his leg. Okay, and I'm not saying they shouldn't do that, but they can do that. They can't drive a car. They can't get a beer. I think it's 21. I don't know what the age is, 21, 18, whatever it is. But they can go at 12, 11 and say, I want to change my sex, and I want you to have surgery on me. That is satanic. Now, I feel bad for the kids that have that feeling, but for adults who know better, who make laws like that and who want to defend that, and then, by the way, make laws that if you as a parent don't abide, they'll take those kids from your house, which happens in several states, and do it to them, that is from the pit of hell. Period. You need to step back and think about this, the process of that. I know they say, you know, it's called bodily autonomy. This is my body, I can do whatever I want to do. God says, that ain't your body. What if the baby said, this is my body? Because there's no woman that was born with a baby in their womb. God formed that baby. God knit that baby together. God gave that baby purpose, and God's the one who separates that baby. I want you to think about this as a believer. If you're a Christian, you need to step back and go, God, you tell me. Don't take your understanding of that issue from the government or from the media or from Planned Parenthood. Go to the Word of God. And if it upsets you and you go out, just ask yourself, is my anger, is my frustration because I'm not getting what I want, which is the devil tells you you have a right to. But God says you surrendered that right. And so you have to ask yourself, am I mad because I believe I'm right and the Bible's wrong? Okay, at least say that. At least now you know who your opposition is because it ain't Miles McPherson. But you also need to know that did God really form me in the womb? Yes, he did. Psalm 139, did God really call me and make me a prophet or whatever he did before I was in the womb? Jeremiah 1:5, yes, he did. Did God really knit me together? Yes, he did. Did God separate me in Isaiah from the womb? Yes, he did. So you just, at least you need to know in Exodus 22, it says that if a man hurts a woman and the baby dies, he gets punished. So you need to understand what the Bible says and not take your cues from social media. And so as you talk about the election, look at all the issues and ask yourself, what does the Word of God say? Because the Word of God is all that we're going to be judged by. Proof of citizenship is protection of children, Matthew, and many other things, but this is what I'm talking about today. Matthew 9:24, whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone was hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. We're not going to throw you in the water. This is Jesus talking. Woe to the world because of offenses. Woe to the world because of these offenses. Here's what God's saying. Woe to y'all who will make those laws and enforce those laws. Watch out. Because these little kids, angels stand before God, the Bible says. And it says, for offenses must come. Drama is going to happen. People are going to sin. People are going to commit crimes. But it says, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. Don't be that person. Now, take a breath. Everyone take a deep breath. Take some time today, if that issue got you, and think about it. Don't make an emotional, I'm never going back there again. Think about it. And look at the information. Because as I told you in the beginning, when you come to church, Lord, help me understand something. Help me understand my life. Help me understand who I am, what I believe. Because if you come to church every now and then, don't read your Bible, your mind has not been renewed and you're thinking just like the world. And then you come in here and go, I don't know what he's talking about. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. And know that this, one of the reasons I stay healthy and I'm not saying I'm all holier than thou and spiritual. I do it because I feel good and I've always done it. But I also know that this is God's temple. And I know when I don't work out and don't eat healthy, I'm exaggerating, but I feel like, how am I going to obey God? But when I do, I'm like, let's go. Let's go. What's up? And God has made you a warrior. He made you the head, not the tail. First be let, not last. And yet we walk around all defeated because we think we're trying to fit in the world when we don't fit in the world. Your friends are out there cursing, sleeping around. That is not the kingdom of God. If you feel like you're at a place, you are. You are. And it's never gonna work. Look at number seven. Number seven, why do people think if their party wins, they have victory? Now, if you're a Republican and you feel like if Trump wins, you're gonna have victory, you think so? And if you're a Democrat and you think if Kamala wins, you're gonna have victory, you think so? Culture is going to be against the church. Now, they may be against the church in different ways and you can figure all that out, but at the end of the day, the world is not the kingdom of God. And so you always wanna step back and listen, have your desires and your preferences, for sure, but just don't put all your eggs in that basket. Because if your party doesn't win, guess what? God knew that. He's still on the throne. And he still is going to do something in your life. Because you need to start thinking about what happens if. What are you going to do? You going to go hide? No. You got to be ready for if your worst scenario happens. I was talking to somebody the other day. And they said, I think this person's going to win. And this is going to happen. Of course, we don't know. But if the person you don't want to win wins, what are you going to do? Are you going to be as committed to God, or are you going to allow God to do something in your life from it? Or are you going to feel defeated because that was your savior? It's not. No matter who, no matter what policies they promised, and by the way, no matter what policies they put in place, your savior is Jesus, and your purpose is to live for his kingdom. And you want to stay out of that kingdom. So you need to be thinking about, you should really go through this exercise. When the Navy SEALs, I hope I get this term right, when the Navy SEALs go on a mission, they have all these contingency plans. And one of their contingency plans is, what if you die? I think it's called a mortality plan. Forgive me if it's wrong, but term may be wrong. But what if you two die? A lot of times they have, you know, they have different specialties that they bring to the table other than just being all bad dudes. But death is real. So if you die, we still got the mission. So if your candidate loses, what do you do? How are you going to respond? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel chapter 3, I wish I could have gotten to that story today, but I'm not. They got convicted of getting thrown in the fire's pit, in the fiery furnace. And guess what? They got thrown in the fiery furnace. They told the king, King, we ain't bowing to you. No matter what you do, we're not going to bow to your idol. And they said, we're throwing you in the fire. They said, go do what you got to do. Everyone say, do what you got to do. You got to have that mentality. So you're not, I hope that we don't lose. Stop. The devil's put fear in you. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego got thrown in the fire, and bam, and King Nebuchadnezzar looked in the fire. King Nebuchadnezzar was the king that threw them in the fire, and there were four people in the fire, yet three were thrown in the fire. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the Lord. And the Bible says they weren't even burnt up. You gotta just say in your mind, Lord, I'm ready for whatever. I'm ready for whatever because I don't live for this world. And when you get there, then there is nothing more fearful than a man ain't got nothing to lose. But if you walk in there, I hope this happens, and if this don't happen, I'm not gonna be happy. If this don't happen, oh man, you're all tied up in the world versus saying, I'm good. I got cut from the NFL three times. First time I got cut, it was my whole world. I cried. Next time I got cut, my wife was 8 months pregnant and we got cut. And I was hurt, so I couldn't go to another team. We had no money, they cut me. Then I got back on the team. Third time I got cut, I was glad. First time I was sad, then I was mad, then I was glad. True story. I was sad because it was everything. I was mad next time because I knew I got cut because I was a Christian. Another long story. And then I was glad because the last time I got cut, I already knew what God was doing. And I went up to the coach and I said, Coach, I want to pray for you. My coach who cut me, Don Coryell, one of the sweetest men I've ever met in my life. I said, I want to pray for you. And he looked at me like, you're praying for me? I said, yep, I'm good. Because this is not my life. This is my life. Number 8, proof of citizenship is kingdom dependence. Just trust on the kingdom. You need to learn to trust in the kingdom of God. And number 8, why am I people consumed with what Satan is threatening to do more than what I am already doing? Listen, the devil can get you, I'm scared about this. And God's saying, do you see what I'm doing? You're scared of what might happen, and you're not even watching what I am already doing. When you play hide and seek, how many of y'all play hide and seek before? Better question, how many of y'all have never played hide and seek? Anybody? I mean, come on. If you never play hide and seek, I'll play with you today, okay? Close your eyes and try to find me, okay? But when you play hide and seek, you count. You have to count like a child. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. And then when you open your eyes, you are looking for someone. Can I get an amen? Amen. When you get up every day, you need to be looking for what God is doing. You need to say, Lord, show me what you do. Show me what you're saying. I'm listening to you. Look what the Bible says. The Bible says proof of citizenship is focused on the Father. John 5:19. Jesus answered and said, most assuredly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father doing. Whatever he does, the Son of Man does. You need to be looking. God, what are you doing? How do you want me to live? What are you telling me about me? What season of life am I in? How are you trying to direct me? If you don't know that, then what are you doing? You're just going about life doing what the world gives you. God has a plan. He wants to open your eyes to show you what he's doing. He wants to put words in your mouth. These last two, this sermon and the last sermon, I felt so ill-prepared. He said, just trust me. I got an outline. But I didn't feel as prepared as I wanted to be. And I've been trying. It's like God's been blocking me. I don't know if it's God, whatever. And he said, when you get out there, I'll tell you what to say. You need to be, Lord, I want you to guide me. I want to be detached from all the drama in the world, all what's in the media. Here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you what's going to happen. The world is going to become anti-God and rage war with God, and God's going to come down and kick butt. That's what's going to happen. And so you want to be sure that, okay, I know that's the plan. I'm on his side. I don't know how it's going to work out, but I'm on his side. Lord, I just thank you for your faithfulness. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love and your power and your authority. And I thank you for your word that doesn't change. Lord, I especially pray for right now. I just pray comfort. I pray comfort for the women who've had abortions, are going to have, thinking about it, or just offended that they would be told it's not their body. Lord, I pray you love them. If you had an abortion, God loves you. He wants to comfort you. He's not mad at you. He loves your baby. Your baby's with him. And I just pray that you would give us clarity on the topic. And then as we vote and as we think about these things, we would keep it at arm's distance. The world's not going to end when one person or another person gets elected. Things will be different. But at the end of the day, the kingdom of God is still intact. At the end of the day, Jesus is on the throne. And at the end of the day, we will serve him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.